not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Woohoo! It's Friday. Hey, we got the big bull sale up there in Roger Mills County tomorrow at Cheyenne. The all-breed bull sale is going on. Headed up there myself tomorrow. Anyway, I think they're bringing them in, probably start bringing them in here pretty quick. And if you guys are looking, got time, you want to go up there this evening, I'm sure they'll let you breeze through there and check out the bull selection. Currently, weather, western Oklahoma, it's in the 40s in the panhandle. Texas, and what's the other county? I can't remember. There's only three of them up there. I know there's Beaver, but the far west two counties up there in the panhandle are in the 40s, and here we are in the 60s. So anyway, something's going on up there. Maybe a little weather change coming on. 64 at Slapout, 57 at the May Ranch, 64 at Fairview, 60 at Eric, 60 at Altus, and 61 at Hobart. Out in the panhandle, not a lot of difference. 46 at the Paladora Reservoir, 57 at Lipscomb, 56 at Miami, 56 at Wellington, and 60 at Odell, right there across the river bridge, Red River Bridge, that is. All right, let's get on, see what's happening. Got good things come on. Today is the Wheeler General Store happy hour. Mr. Jimmy Music will be in here in about 20 minutes. He just got back from D.C. We're going to talk wheat and see what's happening on his farming and ranching operation down in Ouachita County. Been a while since Jimmy's been on, so it's going to be great to have him on the show. Anyway, let's see. Wheat futures were higher in overnight trading and technical buying and some concerns about production in Argentina. Corn and soybeans were a little changed. It was said in this report, 5.9 million, which is about hectic hours, acres, however they say that, 14.6 million acres, there we go, were planted with wheat, the lowest in five seasons. The lack of moisture left planting below original forecast. The reduced area combined with late frost at the beginning of October and water stress in large parts of the central producing areas in Argentina left output below expectations. The exchange set production at 15.1 million metric tons. And while that's up 24% year over year, it's down 16% from the five-year average. Still keeping a lid on prices are expectations for favorable weather in other growing areas of the world. In the U.S., as much as six times the normal amount of rain has fallen in western Kansas, Oklahoma and Texas panhandles in the past month, according to the National Weather Service data. 54% of Kansas crop was in good or excellent condition as of January 28th. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, that's up 50% in late November when the agency issued its National Crop Progress Report. Wheat for March delivery rose 3.25 cents to 604.75 cents a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, and Kansas City futures gained 8.25 cents to $6.29 a bushel. Corn futures were down 0.75 cents to 446.75 a bushel. Soybean futures for March delivery rose 1 cent to 1204.25 bushel. Soy meal was up 180 to 363.50 a short ton, and soy oil lost 0.16 cents to 45.44 cents a pound. The U.S. soybean crush rose month to month but missed expectations, according to data from the United States Department of Agriculture. Processors crushed 204 million bushels of soybean in December. That's up from 200 million in November. That's up from the 187 million bushels processed December of 22, but still down from 206 million forecasts in a Rutgers poll. Crude oil produced from the crush rose to 2.38 billion pounds, up 2% from November and 8% from the same month a year earlier. Iowa was the biggest crusher of soybeans at roughly 49.3 million bushels, followed by Illinois at 25.4 million bushels. The state combined for 37% of the soybeans crushed in the United States. We had a little bit of fog this morning. Fog is, again, an issue from North Dakota south into northern Kansas. And according to the National Weather Service maps in central Nebraska, visibility this morning was down to less than a quarter mile, making driving hazards very hazardous. How's that? And conditions hazardous. How's there? There we go. Thunderstorms are expected to roll across much of western Oklahoma this afternoon into the night. Half-dollar size hail and wind gusts up to 65 miles an hour are the biggest threat with these storms. And I checked radar a while ago when it's easing this way across the Texas Panhandle, so we'll see what happens this afternoon. I haven't heard. Also, I want to give a big shout-out to all my friends and listeners and everybody for the all the happy birthday wishes that I've had today so far. I'm talking 200 or 300 of them. I'm blessed to have that many friends, and thank you very much from the bottom of my heart for you guys doing that. I'm big 6'2 today. 6'2. I'm 62 years old today. And so anyway, and the guess what? That varmint over there in Pennsylvania this morning, the old groundhog, he didn't see his didn't see a shadow, so it's going to be early springs. All right, might have that turned around. But anyway, when I'm on the radio, my mind turns into cloud nine, and I don't think before I talk. But anyway, early spring is in the forecast, but I don't want to bust anybody's bubble or anything, but, you know, the groundhog is wrong 80% of the time. So anyway, hopefully he's not this year. Sure acting like it, but and I looked at the 21-day forecast last night, and I don't see anything coming, but, you know, it can get here. Another winter storm can hit us, or, you know, anyway, it's going on. So let's check out some of the grain prices going on right now. Looks like it's everywhere. It's all over the place today. The only thing I really see in the green today is hogs and cotton, sugar, and some live cattle, and everything else is taking a tank today. Corn, March, 444, down a little over 2. May is 455 right now, down 3. Soybeans is 1193 for March, down 10. down 10. And May is 1202, down 11. Soybean meal for March, 358.50, down 320. May is 355, even, down 220. Soybean oil, March, 44.72, down 88. May is 45.24, down 84. Hard red winter wheat, March, 625. It's up. It was down a couple hours ago, but it's up now over 4. And May is 622, up over 2. And what else we got here? Cotton, March, 86.94, up 45. And May, 87.91, up 27. Matter of fact, that reminds me, when Jimmy comes in here, going to see what's causing the steady rise in the cotton, see what's happening, because he's a good cotton farmer down in there. So anyway, what else we got going on here? Wheeler General Store, before we go to our first break. The Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County. From animal feed and farm and ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies, they are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity, have fleet take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be there ready to help you with all your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town, makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items that they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They have been a high pro dealer for over 10 years. They delivered to ranches, stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. Located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside of Wheeler. They are looking forward to serving you. And this is not a good thing. My boss walks in here and he's got the mic in front of his face. Can I help you, sir?
Well, Jimmy, I heard something you said earlier today.
Was it fake news?
I'm not sure. No, I'm not. I'm not busting you on anything today. I do know that you do a lot of things all over in a lot of areas. And that what's funny about you doing a lot of things in a lot of areas is you farm, you cattle, you golf, you what else? You do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But today, something special.
Yeah.
Right? It's something special, right?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Make sure you guys are on.
Happy birthday, dear Jimmy. Happy birthday to you.
Jimmy Clark's 79th birthday today.
Yeah, and I act like I'm 30.
I know, you do act like you're 30, but you are about, I don't know what you are, but you are. How old are you today, Jim?
62.
62 years old. He said he would only work here for like 5 years, but we've already signed a contract for 10.
Yeah.
Somewhere. I signed it for you. I signed it for you.
I didn't see the any.
It doesn't matter. They're all
the
good.
Word. Yeah, I didn't see any of the word.
The pay decreases so you can keep your retirement money. So you can keep
I need a pay decrease because I'm going to apply for Social Security today.
See?
Not really.
Hey, happy birthday, Jimmy.
All right, thanks, boss. Yep. Appreciate it. And then Mr. Jimmy Music just walked into the studio, so all is good. So anyway, let's take a Wheeler General Store break. And when we come back, I'll do an update on cattle, the market, and get that over with. And then we'll start talking with Mr. Jimmy Music from down around Warstall County area. So we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
SCI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SCI Agritech 1400 South Randall in Elk City, with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SCI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Get better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 2nd at 12:30. Selling 90 yearling and 18-month-old bulls and 20 commercial bred heifers. They've got DNA test data, birth, weaning, and yearling data, and ultrasound data. They've been feed efficiency tested on the GrowSafe system. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 2nd at 12:30 p.m. on County Road 2150 near Foss. Get information at davisangus.com. Or go to Facebook and search Davis Angus.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, Lipscomb, Texas. 53 degrees, humidity 75, dew points 45. The winds are out of the southwest at 15 miles an hour. And peak wind gust today, 24. No rainfall this month yet. And red flag minutes, no sub-freezing minutes, all that's a no-go. 8-inch soil temperature, 44 degrees. Anyway, let's check out what the cattle market's doing, if I can find it. There we go. First of all, let's go with the West Texas Intermediate crude oil. March, 72.54, down $1.28 today. Cotton, natural gas, March, 208, up 3. April's 209, up 2. And then here we go. Live cattle, February 180.05, up 30. April's 183.42, up 25. June is 181.27, up 15. Feeder cattle, not too bad today. They're in the red, but not by much. March, 244.50, down 37. April's 249.82, down 70. May is 254.97, down 72, and August is 269.72, down 85. Lead hogs, February 76.67, down 12. April 83.92, up 17, and May is 88.50, up 22. Again, tomorrow is put on by the Roger Mills County Cattlemen's Association, the 46th annual Western Oklahoma All Breed Bull Sale, starting at 12:15 at the Red Barn. It's right there on the south side of Cheyenne as you're coming in on 283. So it's not hard to find. If you're coming in from the south, you go around both curves, and I guess right about the, where it straightens out is where that barn's at. And we don't, as Linda says, if it rains a little bit, it's going to be there's going to be parking areas where, by the campground and stuff, so you won't be in the mud and stuff like that. But anyway, be optimistic. We're going to have a good sale tomorrow, and starts at 12:15. Okay, let me see here. Dr. Peel. This is from Dr. Peel. USDA's cattle inventory was pretty much as expected, with cattle inventories mostly down across the board. But Oklahoma State University Extension livestock marketing special Darrell Peel says a continued liquidation in the beef cattle industry begs the question. What happens in 2024? Do producers continue this process, or do they find a way to stabilize and think about rebuilding when rebuilding could begin? As the story unfolds, the tighter supplies will mean higher prices. This certainly will be the case, was the case in 2023, and Peel suggests that the highest prices may not even emerge until next year, and I'm talking about 2025. As seen in 2014 and 15, high prices happened a year to a year and a half after herd expansion began, because that's when producers have been saving heifers, he explains. That's when you squeeze the available supply of feeder cattle to its lowest levels, and we have not been doing that yet. So I think the highest prices are definitely ahead of us and probably not even going to happen in 2024. I think it might be 2025, he said. Key factors at place. Peel says there's a couple of key factors at place regarding when herd rebuilding may once again commence. The first is obviously weather and the ongoing drought situation and how this affects producers' ability to grow. The other part of the equation, however, and the one that said Peels says was a real factor in 2023, was that producers haven't been ready to grow yet. Part of this was due to the financial stress that they've been under. We have had high prices in 2023, and producers told me they needed to take advantage of it to sort of heal up, kind of, he said, financially. So they sold nearly everything in 2023. Having done that, they're now in somewhat better shape. Further, there has been a continued moderation in input cost. Peel says improving weather and financial situation may cause producers to look at the market and consider getting back in the business by retaining some heifers. On the weather and drought situation, Dr. Peel says the key cattle areas in the center part of the country are somewhat in better shape right now, although this varies a little bit from north to south. At the end of 2023, some of the worst drought was actually in the Delta and the Gulf State regions, and still is, but that's been the case over the last 3 years plus that we've had drought. It's pretty typical of a long-lived drought. Peel says the drought kind of moved around the country and affected a lot of people at different times in different ways. Going forward, meteorologists have been pretty consistent in their El Nino forecast, which means generally wetter and colder conditions in the southern plains. The region has been getting some moisture, but Peel says it's drier and warmer than usual as you get further north. Still, some of these meteorologists are saying that El Nino will fade pretty quickly this spring and transition into neutral conditions. Last but not least, from Dr. Peel, producers are increasingly optimistic as a whole, obviously due to the market prices, according to Peel. But they've also been very cautious about acting on this in a really aggressive way. I think there's some very, very good reasons why that's been the case. But as we go forward, I do think the transition to a more solid kind of optimism that will translate into a more targeted effort. Let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store break. When I come back, I'll have Jimmy Music on here. We're going to talk about wheat, what's happening up there with the big boys in D.C., and see how things are flowing down there in Wichita County on his operation. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-06.
Hi, I'm Gary Owens with Galleria Furniture. We have the largest FlexSteel gallery in Oklahoma.
For over 130 years, FlexSteel has been known for their quality, blue steel spring technology, and lifetime warranty. With up to 12 months to pay with your Galleria credit card, why shop anywhere else?
And remember, we'll beat any competitor's price or it's yours for free.
Visit us at our Elk City location, just next to Tractor Supply on West 3rd Street.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, It was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Calling all rural residents of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup in four different size dumpsters. You have a big job? D&G also has roll-offs available in several sizes. With D&G, you find affordable rates and no contracts. Satisfaction is always top priority. For more information, call D&G at 580-497-6950. That's 580-497-6950. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. Picked the big town of Camargo right there on the north side of the South Canadian River Bridge there. 64 degrees, 51 dew point, humidity 62. Winds are out of the south at 10 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 0.40 inches of rain. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 48. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.8. Sunset, 6:04. Rain showers likely today, 67 for a high. 60% chance of rain tonight. 50% chance of thunderstorms, 44 for a low. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and 60 degrees. Well, in the studio with me right now is Mr. Jimmy Music. He's home quartered down in Ouachita County. He's a great farmer down there, and he's been highly active, mainly in the wheat commission. You've been doing a little with cotton, didn't you, or not?
Yeah, several years ago I was on the National Wheat Council, but it's been several years.
Right.
I've served as president of the National Wheat Growers in 2018, and the wheat growers are the legislative body of the wheat group, and the commission is the ones that promote and develop and hopefully deliver exports to those foreign countries across the countryside.
Right. And so you just got back from Washington, and before we get into that, how about a great growing season we got going on right now?
It's nice to have submoisture for a change.
Yeah.
Been 3 years since we had any submoisture. So. Yeah,
it has, because we've been just hoping we get a rain in March or April just to, so we could have some kind of crop.
It won't take as much rain this spring as it normally has.
Right. It's been good. So you just got back from Washington. What's happening up in Washington?
Washington, as usual, is a crazy place. And it was a good time to be there. Lots of things going on, but it's amazing that they get hung up on so many political things, they forget about the real things, and
right.
That's taking care of the people across the countryside and meeting the needs of the farmers, and that's what we were there for. We got a chance to visit with the legislators, and we had all wheat growers there from every state, so it was interesting to see how they were doing, and they've been everywhere from a drought to too much rain, as they always are. In our countryside, in Western Oklahoma, you got to be pretty tough to farm in Western Oklahoma. So it's kind of interesting. I sat around a table with a group, and there were a couple officers from Washington, Oregon, and they were going around the room asking, getting a report on what the wheat yield was this past year. And two of those guys said theirs wasn't very good in Washington, Oregon. One of them said they only had a 101 bushel, and the other one said his was down to 105, and it had been up to 110.
Is that for the whole field or per acre?
No, that's per acre, I might say. And they got around to me, and I said, well, I want you to know that we made a little less than 100 bushel. Yeah. I never did tell them how much we made, but it was a lot less than 100 bushel. But
what's the feel you get from all the different wheat farmers from different states? What's the feel you're getting right now?
I think everybody I've talked to is price conscious. The price of wheat is absolutely terrible. A lot of that has to do, they gave us some reports on exports and the price, the U.S. dollar's been really a little bit too high to get those exports where they ought to be. That's hurt our cattle, our beef numbers as well. When we go to D.C., we don't just talk about wheat. We talk about the cattle business. We talk about the dairy business. It's really important to my alfalfa business.
And yes.
We talk a great deal about cotton and corn and milo and all those things. But the worst thing about it is we all end up in the same bed together because we've all got to make it work for everybody.
Right.
If it doesn't work for everybody, it doesn't really work for nobody.
Right. Well, you talking about different types, the dairy farming, corn, milo, cattle. Let's start with your hay man. And last year, milk prices were down. That had to hurt somewhat.
It hurt quite a bit. And not only hurt them, it hurt me.
Right, that's what I mean.
We sold alfalfa hay for nearly $100 a ton less than we sold it for the year before. Yeah, it's been amazing what's been going on in the dairy industry. I've got one customer that milks 8,500 cows, and he said he was losing $85,000 a month.
Oh, that would get $1 your attention.
A head. Yeah, that'd get your attention, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it gets your attention. So do you understand what's causing that deal with the milk prices?
Well, they're saying overproduction.
Okay.
And they're saying that's not 100% true. Part of it is they're not exporting the cheese and a lot of those products like they were. We've lost our export markets in a lot of places. One of the comments, and you probably have already saw these figures, but one of the main comments that came and was asked by some of the officials up there is that the U.S. has never, as always, exported more food products, more commodities, dollar-wise, than they've ever imported.
Right.
This past year, as you may know, they imported $35 billion more than exported.
Right.
First time that's ever happened in history, and I don't know about you, that's not a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing. And I didn't realize, I mean, I figured we did because of some trade agreements or something like that, but right before you came on, you was talking about, you know, we're importing wheat. Why?
I'd like to know. We've asked that question more than once. And as a matter of fact, it was asked this week before last to the Secretary of Agriculture, and he didn't really have a good answer for that.
Right. He probably because there's not one.
Well, the truth is there's not a reason in the world to be importing wheat into this country when we got a surplus already.
Right. And then, you know, and you hear that about the cattle. And then, you know, and I've been, I watch the cattle deal more than I do anything, basically. And I know we import a lot of meat from like Brazil or stuff like that, but a lot of it's trimmings. And, you know, there's a lot going on with that. We got to, because we don't have enough trimmings here in the United States, even though we produce a lot of cattle. But, you know, our alfalfa exports is down.
Right.
And I've read a couple times where Japan and I think China are – Japan and Saudi, let me back up. Japan and Saudi have been really good about buying alfalfa from the United States instead of over there. But a couple of the other countries have moved over where they're buying some more from different kinds of countries and stuff like that. And then you go to Brazil and Argentina, and they're blowing us away in the soybean deal, and they're there with the corn, basically. And of course they do sugar, a lot of sugar cane, but that's their big deal down there. It's just, did we teach people too much?
Well, of course you got to remember years ago, that was one of the main things they did was send experts to those countries to teach them how to grow food products. And
right.
And they've been good students. They've learned very well.
So
one of the things that I saw while we were up there, there's always concern about the farm bill that's fixing to take place.
Yep.
But one of the things that's going on is those reference prices on all of our products, whether it's cotton or wheat or corn or whatever it is, are all way too low. They're outdated, something terrible. And we're getting a lot of pushback from trying to raise those very much. They think that we can continue to raise those food products for next to nothing, and that's what we've been doing. But you can't do that forever.
No. Well, we need one of those non-agriculture people from the legislation to go out and buy a tractor.
That's right.
That's what, you know, buy a tractor or go buy a feed pickup.
Yeah. We had a speaker from the administrator of the Farm Service Agency was there, and I was very impressed with him. I was sitting at the back of the room, and I saw him come in, and he came in the room wearing a pair of blue jeans, cowboy boots, and a cowboy hat, and it was well used.
Yeah.
And I was really impressed. I thought, I wonder what in the world this guy is doing here. Anyway, he goes up to the front of the room, sits down, and they introduce him as the administrator of the Farm Service Agency.
I think he just took over, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I was really impressed. I understand he's a full-blood Indian and that he's from North Dakota. His name is Zach Dutchins. I'm not saying that exactly right. But anyway, he gave one of the best talks I've ever heard from FSA, ever.
Right.
Did a great job. But he made a real serious mistake. When he left, he come back by and stopped and talked to me for a minute, and he gave me his cell phone number.
Oh, I need to get that from
you. I've already called him twice, so anyway, he didn't know that that was a mistake. But anyway.
Well, so how far you called him twice? How'd it go?
It's good. He answered both times.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyway, it was kind of an interesting time, but we had the best speakers that we've ever had this time. They had some really good speakers. I was really impressed with a concern of what's going on in ag, because these low commodity prices have hurt the farmers across this countryside.
Right.
It's not just in western Oklahoma. We think it's only here and the drought's only here, but it's pretty far and wide.
Right.
It has some really devastating consequences going on right now.
Yeah, I've heard, I've talked to some of our friends, you know them too, out in area, just saying, hey, how's it going? Well, it'd be better if those commodity prices had come up. That's what you hear from every one of them. And it's true. And like year before last, we had $8 corn. What is it now? Four something?
Right. Well, and those commodity prices are really at a place where if they don't go up, there's going to be some serious consequences. And, you know, the young farmers across this countryside are having some challenges staying in business right now, and they need all the help they can get. And I'm thrilled that there are some programs out there that helps them, but it's really a challenge for them.
Right. Yeah. We've talked about it more than a couple times in the last month about whether it's you're going to get into your farming, how are you going to get into your beef, how's the young kids going to do it? I mean, if they're starting from ground zero.
It's nearly impossible if they don't have some help somewhere.
Yeah.
I might say while I was in D.C., somebody asked me if I knew Jimmy Clark, and I said, well, yeah, I do. I said, he's an interesting character, and this guy said, well, he's a character, all right. So I don't know what he meant by that.
Well, we probably don't need to find out.
one of our best speakers while we were there happened to be a lady from this area by the name of Kathy Fowler.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she spoke on the crop insurance and what a great job she did. I was really impressed in what she had to say, and they listened very closely to what she had to say. They was very interested in the insurance part of that discussion, and I was really impressed with what she had to say, and they asked a lot of questions.
Yeah, because one of the deals I keep seeing pop up every now and then through all the ag news I listen to is some of the legislators are wanting to either downsize or kind of do away with some more of the insurance. And I'm here to say I'm a little guy on the farming part and the cattle part, but if it wasn't for insurance, it'd be hard.
Well, and they talk about, I hear people talk about farmers farming for the insurance. Well, I don't know any farmers stupid enough to farm for the insurance, you know, because that's a guaranteed. If you really are a good operator, you break even.
Well, I've only did the insurance deal once that I had to turn in on it, and I didn't break even, but it was better than losing it all.
That's right. Absolutely.
So, well, let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store break, and when come back, we'll continue our conversation with Jimmy Music. And if anybody's got any questions about anything that's happening with Farm Bill or wheat or anything that you think Jimmy would help answer, text line is wide open at 580-225-9697.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma, has dedicated their life to supporting your farm's success because farming is their way of life. Their superior high-pro feeds are expertly formulated to meet the nutritional needs of your livestock. They provide bulk feed delivery straight to your farm, or for smaller quantities, they offer a variety of feed bags and sacks in different sizes. When it comes to your livestock feed, choose excellence. Choose Hobart Farm and Garden.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 26. 1,029 head were sold. 5 head of steers at $398 brought $367.50. 9 at $508 brought $315. 6 at $631 brought $245. 12 at $699 brought $239.50. 3 at $760 brought $231. 8 at $789 brought $229. 4 head of heifers at $380 brought $315. 8 at $427 brought $260. 7 at $450. 6 brought 270, 5 at 573 brought 258, 14 at 634 brought 238, 7 at 661 brought 232, butcher cows were 46 to 119, butcher bulls brought 77 to 135.50, bred cows were 1,035 to 2,200, pairs brought 750 to 2,300, Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sell every Friday at 9 a.m., consigned, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale is February 28th at the ranch southwest of Leedy, selling 150 two-year-old bulls. Sires include Deer Valley Growth Fund, KG Justified, and Easy AR Step Up. Several other breed-leading sires will be represented. Also selling commercial two-year-old pairs and open yearling heifers carrying QC Genetics. The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale, Wednesday, February 28th at 12:30 at the ranch southwest of Leedy. You can also view the sale and bid online. For videos and sale info, log on to quartermastercreek.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. Let's just go with Hobart today. This closest mezzanine center to your house, isn't it, Mr. Music? 61 degrees. 55's dew point, humidity's 82, the winds are out of the southeast at 21 miles an hour with gusts up to 26, 0.68 inches of rain in the last 10 days, 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 48 degrees, 1-day average, 10-inch fractional water, 1.0, sunset at 6.605, and 50% chance. How's that? 50-50 chance of rain today. 66, winds out of the south. Tonight, 50% chance of rain. Tomorrow, partly sunny and 62 with south winds 13 to 17 miles an hour. I want to give a big shout out to one of my young listeners up there the Leedy way. Teal Castle. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the happy birthday. He was so excited for no school today so he could listen to the show. We need to come up there and talk to your teacher. We need to take a break here from 12 to 1 at school. So I'll see if I can come up there and talk some sense into her. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, you got to do your learning. Well, Jimmy Music's in the studio with me. Cotton, alfalfa, wheat grower, rancher from Washtenaw County, and we're talking about his recent trip to Washington. And it's hard to go to Washington and not run into a legislator, isn't it?
That's right.
And you got to talk to all of ours from up there.
Most of them we got to talk to firsthand. It was kind of interesting. Everywhere we went to Senator Lankford's office and Senator Mullins, and we talked to them obviously about crop insurance and the farm bill. And as you may know, Bart Fisher wrote that farm bill, and he was Congressman Lucas's main guru that wrote the 14 farm bill and 18 as well. So Bart is very knowledgeable, and he does a great job, and he understands agriculture because he's raised on a farm and down by Chattanooga, and his father still farms down there, and he's on the Farm Credit Board of Western Oklahoma. But really a great family and very knowledgeable. And as we went to those legislators, there was not a single legislator that didn't say the same thing. They said, well, most of those issues we're going to have to visit with Frank about it.
Right.
So they all said the same thing. Congressman Lucas is our go-to person.
Yeah, he's got a lot of knowledge.
He does.
And whether you like him or love him or hate him, he does know what's going on in Washington with the agriculture part.
He does. It's not just him. I visited with the Secretary of Agriculture, Secretary Vilsack, and told him where I was from. And he said, oh, yeah, you're out in Congressman Lucas's area. I said, yeah, yeah, I am. And I said, I consider him not only my legislator but a friend. But what was so cool about that, he said, you understand that I'm on the opposite side of the parties, but he said, I really do respect your congressman and have a lot of confidence in him. And he was a great chairman of the House Ag Committee when he was there, and he'll be there again one of these days.
Yeah, because was Vilsack, was he not in there when President Obama was in there?
Yes, he was.
He got to deal with Frank a lot.
That's right. On the 2018 Farm Bill, he was there on a regular basis.
Right.
So anyway, I was really impressed with that. We got to visit with Senator Debbie Stabenow. She's a Senate ag guru, and I always like to visit with her because she's very not only knowledgeable about ag issues, but she's very knowledgeable about Western Oklahoma, and she'll always stop wherever she's at and visit with me because she knows her parents were, her mother's side of the family was raised at Butler, Oklahoma.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So she's always good to visit with, and she'll stop what she's doing and say, oh, here's a guy from out in my family's part of the country, so which is kind of cool. But she's a good legislator. She's going to retire, but her goal is to get that farm bill passed before she retires, if you don't know the truth about it.
Right.
A lot of discussion about the farm bill, talked about maybe it may be an April deadline, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. Some believe that might be a possibility, but a lot of them think it could be next fall before it actually passes.
Yeah, because we got election going on, and of course you got your left and right things going on, yeah. And people. So what we're just going to continue to operate under the 2018 till one's done. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a pretty good bill, but we got to change those reference prices. You know, they talked about raising a reference price 10%, you know, they said for every 10%, it costs $10 billion to raise it. You know, that. So obviously if we raise it to where it needs to be, which would be $8 or $9 a bushel, it's going to cost a lot of money to do that.
Right.
And they say the money's not out there, but it's funny to me, they find it for everything else.
Oh, you just get ready to take the words right out of my mouth, because I've been following this really closely, and I know they had the Inflation Reduction Act and all that money stuff there, but I've been sitting here watching the USDA for the last 2 years coming up with millions, if not billions, of dollars for some carbon capture and some other stuff. We need to worry about boots on the ground.
That's right. One of the things when we went to Senator Lankford's office, that he was really proud of the fact that he had got so far along with his immigration bill, and he's really proud of that, and he shared with us that it was going to start at a certain amount. And he said, you understand our goal is absolutely zero. And I said, well, that's a pretty good goal, and that's a goal we really need.
Right.
But he's been criticized over and over again by a lot of people that's never even read the bill. You know, most of those people have not read that bill, that because that bill does not say that they're going to be 5,000, going to okay 5,000 from now on, or 3,700 or whatever figure they come up with. Their goal is absolutely zero.
Right.
And you know, I don't like that criticism, because he's really one of the best senators we've had up there in a long time.
Yep, and it's, yeah, Senator Lankford does. There's a, you know, there's a lot of politics involved in farming. I kind of try to stay away from it on the show unless it's something that I could fact check and is going on with the USDA or whatever. But when somebody like you just comes back from Washington and your boots on the ground, and what do you think about the farm bill? What's your feeling?
Well, we didn't go anywhere that everybody wasn't in agreement. We had to keep crop insurance, obviously. That's
right.
That was and Kathy Fowler went to us to all those legislators, and she did a good job. If they had any questions about explaining that, much better than I could do.
Right.
But anyway, that the farm bill is going to be really similar to the past one, the new one, but it's got, hopefully we're going to have higher reference prices. But
right.
who knows where that's going to be. They're always concerned about dollars when it comes to agriculture, but they don't seem to be concerned about dollars when it goes to some other places, most of which is countries that burn our flag and cuss the U.S. And
right.
I don't agree with any part of that.
Nope, I don't agree with that. I'm right there, right behind you on that deal. Well, let's go down to Ouachita County. How's things down there?
Ouachita County is wet. I haven't said that many times in the last several years. I've got a niece calls from California once in a while, and she says, well, this month, Uncle Jimmy, are you in a drought or are you in a flood? And I said, well, we're not in flood, but we're in wet weather anyway.
Well, the thing I've really noticed about the wet weather we've had, starting back early or late last spring or early summer last year, is, you know, even now, I know the North Fork of the Red River and Elk Creek are in the Ouachita are running really nice right now, but it took a while with all these slow rains. Them rains had disappeared. There wasn't a lot of water standing around.
No, one of the guy that's going to be the new president of the National Wheat Growers is from Altus, Oklahoma. His name is Keith Felty, and he's really a great farmer, got a lot of irrigated cotton down that way, but anyway, he says that they're getting a little more optimistic of getting that lake filled, because it's filling up the ponds up above it.
Yes.
And the creeks and rivers are beginning to run now for a change, and it won't take but a good hard rain out in Texas Panhandle to get significant water in that lake now. So they're really looking forward to actually planting the cotton crop and harvesting one.
Right.
They haven't done that in 2 years. They're about ready.
Yeah, because this time last year, Lugard was 19%. I haven't looked in a week, but I'm just going to throw a number out there. It's either 34 or 35% right now. So that's considerable difference. That's a lot of water.
It's a lot of water.
10-12% fuller than what it was. So anyway, and I went down. I live on the river, and me and the dogs drove down there, checked the hot wire the night before last, and river's running good.
Yeah, that's great. And Ouachita County, as most of those counties close by are the same. It's all extremely wet, and people are trying to get fertilizer out, and they can't do it. They put a lot of fertilizer out while it's frozen, but, you know, obviously it's that you can't do that now. But the good news is, having to work around mud holes. We haven't worked around a mud hole in the last 2 or 3 years.
All right, question for you. We got a couple minutes left. What wheat varieties do you plant down there?
Well, there's lots of new varieties out there, but our main variety as lately that we sow on the ground that we're going to graze out, we sow triticale on a lot of that ground. And our other varieties, we experiment with those a little bit every year. We have a test plot there. You need to come down next time.
I will.
OSU.
I got a remote show now. I can move down there now.
Yeah, okay. But a lot of those varieties are varieties that they've developed them that would be dual-purpose varieties, and that's the varieties we look for that we can graze and grain and everything in between. So
right.
there's a lot of those old varieties still around down there. There's a lot of Gallagher still around and
right.
and some of those old varieties. But a lot of those new varieties is being held over, and as you well know, they run out.
Right.
And so it's important that Dr. Carver keep developing those new varieties. And he's got some new ones out that look very, very promising.
Yep.
And most of those varieties are varieties that are dual purpose. And he understands that, you know, wheat grazing stress and drought stress is what it's all about.
Right.
Because there's a lot of varieties down there that just can't stand it.
Right.
They drought out.
Well, and the good thing about this year, if this weather continues, we can get a good test on a lot of varieties, because the last two or three years, North Washtenaw County had a little bit of rain. South, it just looks like a desert. So there ain't really been any good testing weather the last couple of years.
No, our test plots have shown that none of them stand very well if they don't get some rain.
Jimmy Music, thank you for coming in today, and appreciate your update from Washington and what's going on with your farming operation. I hope you guys enjoyed today. Music's playing. I got to go. We'll see you later, squirrel. Anyway, well, I wasn't going to say your name, but I see you said he is. Anyway, it's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KETO, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust, Elk City, and Sarah, Oklahoma. God bless.